Our guest on our program today is Joshua Heyer, superintendent from the Ogden School District. Good to have you in.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, we've had a interesting January for you out there. We got back. You guys came back, the Friday?
Friday the 3rd.
3rd, okay. And got going. And actually, outside of having, you missed out on the snowfall one, but not the cold. You had a little delay on cold. That's really been the only issue we've had, it seems like.
Overall, for weather so far this year, we've been in really good shape. Obviously, that January 2nd, we had 3 or 4 inches in Boone County here. That was a teacher PD day, so we missed that with kids. And then, obviously, last week, we had just the wind chill. You know, we had that 25, 30 below in the morning, so we elected to go with that two-hour late start. But overall, the weather has been cooperating with us.
Big thing on things like that, and I know people say, well, it was cold then, it's cold. Why do you go out? You can see, for one thing, and sending buses out in the dark when you have not the best of conditions, I know superintendents get a little nervous. Bus people get a little nervous.
Absolutely. You know, it's a tough call, ultimately, and you're looking at student safety, and, you know, there are a number of factors, and what makes a difference in the 2 hours, and first off, the daylight, you know, and then obviously the sun starts to come out, and the wind chill starts to decrease a little bit, but, you know, we're analyzing and looking at all those things, and we have a couple metrics that we look at, and ultimately, we felt like the 2 hour late start was the best option for that day, and all of our buses started, and kids were safe, and we were able to have school.
That's the biggie. The buses all started, they had heat, and they all made it back.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you had the board meeting, a regular board meeting came up on the 13th, and school boards don't have an overly busy agenda early in the calendar year, but there's a lot of budget things that are starting to come together for you. I know this meeting, I think one of the big things, you had your flex hearing, which you had done before.
Yeah, we did have that flex hearing. We had originally set that for December, and we adjusted our regular meeting in December. But ultimately, we had that open meeting in January for that flex funding. And ultimately, the board took action, and we flexed some things out of categorical into our general budget.
So this is something the legislature did do, as far as giving school boards a little bit of flexibility.
Yes, and school finance as a whole is very complex, but we do have certain categorical funding and or buckets, if you will, that you need to spend, and you can't cross-pollinate, if you will, out of those buckets. Yeah. Legislation did give us the flexibility, if you haven't spent all those revenues in there, that you can flex them over into your general. So we certainly appreciate that flexibility that they can give us, because every school district is different in what their needs are.
One of the other issues I think all school boards had was at-risk getting spending authority for the at-risk dollars. And I did the process of, they have the money, it's not new, but you got to ask for authority to spend it.
We do have to go and ask for that authority, and that happened in our January meeting as well. But ultimately, our at-risk dropout prevention, we really look at how do we program appropriately for our students, and then the modified supplemental spending, we need to make sure that we have that through SBRC. So the board took action on that and approved, I think around $200,000 for that authority so that we can program appropriately for our at-risk students.
Now we got the authority to, if you get the approval, you petition for it, and then they come back and say, yes, you can. And yeah, it's one of those things. Each district kind of has a different plan on what they're doing. What does Ogden do for your at-risk?
It's a number of things, honestly, that we look at. Some of that is our counselors, you know, mm-hmm. that are working with our students. We really have an at-risk dropout prevention teacher that really is helping support students that maybe a comprehensive school makeup isn't necessarily working for them. Some credit recovery, so that maybe they're doing some online courses. And then we just have some interventionists as well. Maybe they're struggling in some core areas, and we're trying to really intervene and give them the skills that they need to hopefully be successful later on in their educational or maybe in life. So it, honestly, our dropout prevention program ultimately impacts probably 5 to 8 people across our district.
It's enough to, keep it, that you need it, and again, to keep students successful.
It is critical for our overall success. It is paramount to what the things that we do.
I remember when they used to let you have school resource officers with that. Then that went away, I think, didn't it?
It went away, but the good thing is that they gave us operational sharing, yeah. And we actually are taking advantage of that with a partnership with the city there, and that's been a great partnership that we've entered into for a first time this year.
Yeah. That kind of helps in the at-risk area, too.
It does.
That keeps communications going there. So the board, some of the regular things that come up, we do have, and again, the way the legislature set it up or structured it, open enrollment a little bit different right now. So you have a deadline for that, and all districts have to work with the same guidelines.
Correct. Yeah. And actually, a critical day is coming up. If you recall, we had the March 1 deadline for a number of years. They went away from that. And I think just a number of concerns from school districts. Last year, they went ahead and put that back in place. So if you're looking to open enroll into Ogden, we certainly would be interested in welcoming you to our community and our school district. But those open enrollment requests would need to be submitted by March 1st. So yeah. If that's something that people are interested, and it's hard to imagine because we're really looking at the 25-26, you know, an August 23rd sure. start date, but you really as a family need to be making that decision now in March.
I was going to say that the open enrollment, yeah, when they did away with it, they wanted to have, well, anybody could change any time, really was a challenge for planning purposes and how do we make our way through it. And again, it just created a lot of additional work for the districts. This is a little more set in place. We have our schedule.
This is much more manageable. Yeah. You know, when you're trying to program and make sure that we have the appropriate resources for students, and if we know what that number is going to be in March, and we had a 6-month leeway for August, I certainly appreciate the fact that they reinstituted this.
You've had pretty good open enrollment from the north end of the county. A number of people up there that it's a long trek into Southeast Webster.
It is. You know, overall, though, I would just say the product that we're able to provide, you know, the experiences that students are able to get for a number of reasons, families choose Ogden.
Yeah.
And right now we're probably plus 180 in our open enrollment for it. So we certainly appreciate and support and appreciate the partnership that we have with those families.
That helps at that enrollment time.
It does. It is critical.
So we got that going. Again, that's just something people need to remember. And we know that you just had the preschool night information meeting. So for parents, if you missed it, don't panic. It's still going to be there.
It'll still be there. If you were unable to attend, but our 4-year-old volunteer preschool program, we had an open night last night, informational meeting. And if it's something that you missed and or have other questions, by all means, reach out to our elementary and they'd be able to support you either with Amy Krause, Audrey Rinkin is our teacher, or even Brenda McLeod. Any of those people would be able to support you and help you out.
Well, we did hit on it a little bit, the calendar for the next school year. I know most boards got a chance to take a look at it. You've been working on it. Your board has, they got a pretty good idea, I'm sure, what you're looking at for the 25-26 school year. What happens when we have the 23rd falling on a weekend? I guess that's the choice. Legislature sounds like it's talking about it, but we don't know what they'll do.
Yeah, there's some initial pre-bills that are out there that are maybe going to give some more local control, some more flexibility with that. For our listeners, August 23rd is the hard set date. And for the 25-26 school year, that actually starts on a Saturday. We are looking through our subcommittee, and I'll be bringing ultimately the 25-6 proposal to the board there in February. We have a pretty good overall master schedule that we think is going to work out. But there's a lot of things that go into that calendar that people I don't fully realize, you know, the things that we are really sure. obligated to.
You are required to have everybody always used to be, it was like 180 days or something like that. Teacher contracts are all on days, but now Department of Education lets you count hours that you are in class. So there's restrictions there, requirements there, but it does give you some flexibility.
Yeah, so on an annual basis, your board needs to decide, are you going to count student days or are you going to go with student hours? And the Ogden board ultimately elects to go with hours, but yet our teachers are on a contract of 190, and that 190 is the days that they need to be working. So it really is start to be challenging when you're really restricted on your start date. And there's things that the Ogden community just really typically looks forward to, mm-hmm. as far as with spring break, a Thanksgiving break that's in place, really having commencement at a certain duration. So it really starts to really restrict you on making sure that we're getting a minimum of 1,080 hours. Our proposal that I'll be bringing to the board, I think, has us over 1,100. So that ultimately ends up saying that we got about 3 to 4 days of a cushion before we would potentially have to make up some days. But ultimately, it is a little bit complex, really looking at that overall master calendar and presenting that to the board.
Yeah, I remember some board members, they were readily acceptable of the hours, but there are still a lot of board members over the years I've known have really been days, contact days. That's what they always thought. How many teacher contact days does your student have? So anyway, we'll see what the legislature does as far as changing. I know that was one thing you were hoping last year they would go to the Wednesday after the state fair.
I am a proponent of that. Yeah, I just think overall that flexibility, and every community is different in what their desires and aspirations are. And I think allowing us just a little bit of that flexibility would tailor to the needs that we perceive that we have in our school district.
Well, I know over there you've been looking at facilities. Parking lot was probably one of the leaders in seeing if we can come up with a plan. You have outside work coming in to help with that. But anybody that was around over the weekend with the wrestling going on, you know what the parking's like. It's a little bit of a challenge when you get a lot of people coming in for those events.
Yes, you're right. We're ultimately trying to address some of those things, and we actually have a work session later tonight just to kind of revisit and talk about some of those proposals that we have, and just trying to figure out what is the best pathway or course of action so that when we do address this issue, that it is productive in nature, that we aren't spending money and then trying to maybe 5 years down the road, maybe tearing some of that out. Yeah. So by having a master plan and really looking at maybe phases that you're implementing that in, I think it is good financial sense, but then also it really gets us to that overall comprehensive plan. And yeah, we are trying to address the issue. We know that we are short some parking spaces, and even just the traffic flow overall on our campus needs to be an area that we do address.
So, but a work in progress.
It is a work in progress, and we're continuing to work on that with the board, and hopefully we'll have some decisions made soon.
Well, when you have those kind of wrestling tournaments like over this past weekend, it gets a lot of people there.
So there are a lot of people that come for those.
We do have a lot of people for it, so that might be a challenge, just getting adequate parking, period. But no, it'll take a little while to get it all done. No, it's, and I'm sure the board likes the idea of let's have a master plan, let's work on it step by step. Obviously, much more affordable to work on it step by step as well.
You bet. Yeah, I think it's just good to know the direction that we're going, and then once we have that, then we can really say what makes sense for us, you know, on a financial aspect as well as a programming aspect. So we'll get that with Bishop Engineering, which is doing our parking lot, and then also we're working in partnership with FRK on our facility master planning, and that's going to be probably, you know, the next 3 or 4 months, really. They're doing some internal investigation, and then we'll bring in some community members to really look at what do we view we want for Ogden students in the future.
So last year when the legislature was meeting, and again, it was the AEAs, everybody talked about the AEAs and what's going to be happening. Now it's kind of like, let's give it some time to see how everything settles out for Ogden. It's been working, I mean, I guess about as well as you can expect. You have the flexibility.
They ultimately gave us that flexibility. Yeah. So for AEAs, the money previously used to flow through. So we would collect it ultimately, and that money would flow through to the AEA. And they gave it ultimately that control back. So 90% of our special education dollars still needs to go to the AEA. So we're hopeful that we're going to be able to get the supports and services that we need in that regard. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we are sitting down with AEA and we're really looking at what are the supports that we need over 25, 26.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to program those accordingly. And then it's basically a fee structure.
Sure.
So if they're going to be here X amount of days, that's what they're ultimately going to bill us for. And it just takes a little bit more planning and preparation. But we appreciate our partnership that we have with AEA.
I know I was going to say most districts seem to, you know, we'll put together what we can. Problem for the AEAs is they lost a lot of personnel. And so now it's a matter of getting them back.
That's correct. You know, and I'm fearful that the supports that we have been accustomed to and the services that we have, because they're maybe going to be thinner on staff and they're spread out across multiple districts, we're still going to get the support, but it may not be to that level or that customer service that we have come accustomed to.
And keep our fingers crossed, students don't suffer. That's the big one.
That's the hope.
Keep them moving forward. So this year, there's a lot of things they're talking about. Cell phones, you guys already take care of them. You have a policy that you use in Ogden. I know Boone uses a policy. Most districts have some sort of a policy on it anyway.
Most districts have a policy, a board policy, yeah. Actually, and it's just really making sure that they're enforcing that. I'm not overly concerned regarding that cell phone bill. I hopefully that they give local control for that, and we can really say, hey, how does this apply to us? My understanding of some of the things that they're talking about is establishing a minimum standard.
Yeah.
So long as we're meeting that minimum standard. And ultimately, we don't want distractions in the classroom.
No.
We want our students engaged in the learning, and if a cell phone becomes a barrier, we want to make sure that we're removing that distraction. But also, we want to make sure that our students are having the experiences to be able to use technology appropriately when so choose. So we'll see what happens with that bill. We're paying attention to it.
We'll let them do their thing. How's the absenteeism, chronic absenteeism? Have you had to visit with anybody?
You know, ultimately, again, we kind of talked a little bit about that in August when school started. We sent out information to families, letting them know the 10% threshold versus the 15 and 20. I think it's made families more aware of the absences and making sure that they're more cognizant and having their students here and present. But ultimately, I think it's business as usual. You know, mm-hmm. We still have, you know, some students that are hitting that 15% threshold, and it's requiring kind of an attendance intervention plan. And our school administrators are working in partnership with the family to really try and address why there is an attendance issue. But also, ultimately, I think it's working.
Yeah. With some of the illness that's been going around, have you been getting hit over there too, the respiratory?
There has been a lot. Yeah.
Don't panic, parents. The district can work you through this.
We will work through it.
Yeah. And that's been the big thing. I know a lot of people were a little concerned that they would get written up or something like that. Well, probably you're going to get some sort of list, or the state's going to require seeing something. But for most people, they're going to work it out. The districts are going to.
We're going to work in partnership with the families, and you know, we understand there's a context usually behind the absence. You know, so I mean, if we got somebody that's out ill and we got a doctor's note, we're going to be working with those families.
I know it just had to ask because people keep bringing it up. You know, some of the other things that are coming up over in Ogden. I mean, we've got a lot of our wrestling. I mean, it's not going to be far. You had a big girls tournament over there.
We had a huge girls tournament a couple weeks ago. Over the weekend, we had a boys wrestling invite, and obviously the youth program had one on Sunday. It's crazy to think, but postseason is right around the corner. I think on Friday, actually, our girls are in regionals, and before you know it, we'll be starting to talk about postseason for basketball. But, you know, a lot of things are going on in between speech and show choir, and it seems like our kids are coming and going all the time because they're so actively involved in a number of our activities that we have.
All right. Other things that are coming up, the Bulldog Ball is going to be held.
I think it's worth noting that we have the Ogden Alumni Association, and boy, I don't quote me, but I think this might be year 11 that they've had the Bulldog Ball, and that is on March 8th, I believe. And if you're interested in that, that's more information on our website. But ultimately, we certainly appreciate all that they do. A lot of volunteer hours go into really giving back to our school district. So it's a great fundraiser, a wonderful event. And I believe that's going to be over here at the Boone County Fairgrounds. So hopefully we have a high number of attendance. And again, if you're interested in that, go to our website for more information on how to register.
So I know the part of the chamber, the Blue Coats over there, getting reestablished. So what, they're going to have you come and speak on the 20th, aren't they?
I believe February 20th I'm going to be speaking there. But yeah, I'm really excited about it starting. I think the Boone County Chamber has been doing a number of great things. And for whatever reason, the Blue Coats maybe had maybe a year or so that they kind of were a little idle. But they're starting to ramp that up. And ultimately, we're looking at how can we support local businesses. So I'm really appreciative and we're a part of that. And if you're interested in knowing a little bit more, I think Jennifer Hansen would be a great point person for that. And yes, I will be speaking on the 20th of February to the Blue Coats there. Same.
And a lot of it is, here's what's going on this year in school. So, and speaking of which, you had your first Dawn discussion. Again, this is something you asked or wanted to set up. Again, making yourself available for patrons, school district patrons, to come in and ask questions, find out. So you had your first one here in January. It's the first Friday, right?
It is the first Friday of every month from 7 to 9 at the Linder Good Center. And honestly, very informal. But the point or the purpose of it is I just want to be available for our community so that they have a greater sense of understanding of what's going on. And I just want to be accessible to them. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to necessarily think that it's going to be a formal structure. We'll have coffee and donuts, and we'll just have discussion about whatever topic you so choose, whether it's funding or maybe it's academics that are going on or activities or maybe even a deeper dive into the school calendar and what how that's made up. So come have the conversation, maybe even just introduce yourself and
me. Yeah. If you haven't met everybody, then here's a great opportunity to do it casually.
Yes, absolutely. So I would encourage anybody to come, and whether you spend 5 minutes or 1 hour with us, we certainly would appreciate your attendance.
Okay. Do you bring in any of the others, or is it just you on your own?
Right now, it's just me, but I'm thinking about bringing either directors or administrators. Sure. So, maybe in the month of March, I'll bring maybe our new principal, Derek Carlson, or elementary principal in the future. So, yeah, never know who might, if you walk in that door, who you might see.
Who you might get to meet. And that's all part of it, too, is let people know that they can make contact. They can ask questions and get answers directly instead of, what am I hearing down the street? That sort of thing, which it's much easier to go right directly to and get the direct answers.
Absolutely. That's the way we would prefer it.
Joshua Heyer, our guest on our program today, superintendent from the Ogden School District. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.